Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
Oh, yes! I hate this! It is revolting!
More?
Please.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, March 23, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. What's up? I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 792 of the Biden-Harris administration, 593 days until the 24th presidential election. My Instagram handle is the Bob Seska. My Twitter handle is BobSeska_go. My Spoutable handle is Bob Seska. Are we calling them handles? I'm calling them handles. I don't care. Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there, it's the Goth Ninjas. It is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, Patreon.com/FromTheBunker. Also on the Stephanie Miller Show, StephanieMiller.com. And David Ferguson, we call him T-Rex. Music project is Astral Summer, AstralSummer.Bandcamp.com. Hi, Goth Ninjas, hello.
Hello, Bob.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. We just got some breaking news right before we started the show. In fact, we started the show for just a couple of seconds, and then Kimberly Johnson raced into the room with a frantic note and says, "Oh, my God, check your Twitter DMs." So we're going to talk about that here in just 1 second. It's
what did Muggsy from the Post phone her with an urgent breaking bulletin.
That's right. She had the little press tag in her fedora as she ran in from the bank of phone booths.
I wear those all the time.
Yeah, I'm wearing one right now. So before we get into what's going on in New York City and Trump's predictable reaction to it, I got to say a big thank you to one of the legends of American cartoon animation, and that is the great Vincent Waller, who gratefully follows me on Twitter. I'm sort of Twitter friends with Vincent. If you don't recognize the name, he was one of the lead artists on the original run of Ren and Stimpy, which is one of the most classic cartoons of our time. It was groundbreaking, revitalized 2D hand-drawn animation in the United States.
And was so subversively weird.
Yes, yes. You incredibly know, weird and disturbing and hilarious. But you may or may not remember an episode called Sven Hork. And it was about Ren's Swedish cousin, Sven. And Sven comes over to stay, and Sven and Stimpy become really good friends, and naturally, they want to play their favorite board game, which is called...
Don't Waste Our Electric Fence.
That's what it's called. That's what that's from. It's from that Sven Hork episode. So today, I was responding to some tweet about the Republicans, and I made the comment about how the Republicans are whizzing on the electric fence, and everyone knows...
Don't Waste Our Electric Fence.
And in reply to that tweet, holy shit, Vincent dashed off this storyboard panel of Ren and Stimpy with Ren wearing his fedora with a little tag in it. Yep. And Ren is whizzing on the electric fence. And Vincent drew that for me.
Aww.
It was like I couldn't print it out fast enough. That is getting framed on my wall. Holy
but is
shit.
Is it a non-fungible token?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. But, you know,
good.
I will keep it for myself and I will absolutely cherish it because you may or may not know, I ran an animation studio for 10 years. I've produced so many animated shorts. And if you were to combine the quality of all of them, it wouldn't even compare to the quality of Vincent Waller's work on that show. I mean, he was a layout artist, a layout supervisor, character designer. I distinctly remember seeing his name come up in the credits in that crazy Ren and Stimpy font. So I am enormously grateful and absolutely floored. If you want to see the actual drawing, you can go to my Instagram right now. I posted it on Instagram. Of course, I quote tweeted it on Twitter, so you can find it in either one of those places. But once again, thank you to the great Vincent Waller. Just such a mind-blowing experience. Life is weird, isn't it?
I feel like Ren and Stimpy is kind of elemental to everyone in that every single relationship I know has a Ren and a Stimpy. Like, you know, there's one person who's just like, I love you. The other person's like, oh, you idiot. You know, like, and it's just
so
like,
true.
And I've been both, you know.
How would you categorize me in your Ren and Stimpy relationships, that dichotomy?
Oh, I think you're the Stimpy.
Am I really Stimpy? Holy shit. Well, that, you know what, that makes me feel better, other than the part about his brain always falling out. But, you know, other than that, I'm cool with being Stimpy. I was thinking maybe I would be more,
I don't know.
A little
I've
bit
never
more
actually,
Ren,
like,
but okay.
Watched you and Kimberly interact in like a public situation or like an awkward situation. That's where you really see it, where one person is just like, and the person's like, stop!
Yeah. Yeah. Depending on the day, Kimberly and I interchange between Ren and Stimpy. One day I'm Ren, the other day she's Ren. Yeah, one day I'm Stimpy, the next day she's Stimpy. It's sort of fluid that way. We have a
the
fluid
bottom
Ren
line
and Stimpy
is
relationship.
The one who asks to speak to a manager. Yeah.
Well, that would be Kimberly A. Johnson.
Yep. See? I told you are the Stimpy buddy, whether you like it or not.
Well, I
she
guess
is
I
the
am.
Mastermind, and you are the lackey. You know.
All right. Well, thanks again to Vincent Waller. Just blown away, as I keep saying, man, on the internet and social media, life is effing crazy.
Just between the two of you, I think I'm one degree of separation from every single famous person on the planet at this point.
But then, I mean, that's the nature of social media. That's what's changed about our society is that the people who we admire, celebrities, musicians, politicians, on down the line, I mean, they're just a couple of clicks away. You can have pretty easy access to them. And I don't know if that's good or bad, ultimately.
They never notice me. These people never speak to me. I'm like, you know, standing out in fucking Kelly Clarkson's mansion, like, please be my friend. Your voice is so pretty. We can harmonize. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Well, she does harmonize well with Pink, so there is that.
Well, and you also...
Except her lawyers told me to cease and desist, so...
That's right. Well, you know, the other thing is, David, you need to spend more time on Twitter. And by that, I mean an unhealthy amount of time, like Kimberly and I do. Because it's like, at the end of the day, at the end of a single day, I've probably spent, I would say, the vast majority of my time in that day on Twitter or on social media in some form, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Spoutable, etc. I mean, those are my main
three.
See, I
feel bad after I do that. I feel like I've eaten like an entire like McDonald's supersized meal, except it's in my mind. You know, like I just like I have to like be away from my phone and be away from the internet for more of the day than I'm not.
Well, that's the challenge. The challenge is to be ensconced in that without going bananas.
Right.
That's the constant fight against social media.
How's that working out for you?
Not well. Not well. As I said previously, the Stimpy comparison, my brain keeps falling out of my head, and it's a pain in the ass.
And it's tiny, and it's got a hair stuck to it.
That's right. And then I played Don't Whiz on the Electric Fence, which is America's favorite board game. Okay, so let's talk about New York City and... I guess impending indictments there from Alvin Bragg. They haven't happened yet. They're not going to happen today. They probably aren't going to happen this week because I think the grand jury has been dismissed. But
I heard on the news, just on a news blurb about an hour or so ago, that they are convening, but not with this case, with another case, because I guess in New York, a grand jury isn't just specific to one case.
I see.
And secondly, they might meet tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be good news. I hope that's the case. I hope they don't end the week without indicting Donald Trump for this.
Another theory that I heard on MSNBC yesterday was that the reason for the delay is to coordinate with Donald Trump's people on his surrender at the moment that the indictment comes down.
Okay.
Like, the prosecution will know the indictment comes down. They've already organized with him how to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happens like all at once.
Yeah.
And over a weekend would be smarter.
Right.
To a certain extent, because the news is, but everybody's waiting at the courthouse. Everybody's waiting at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Well, part of the thing is the indictment will be sealed. So the only way we're going to know that he was actually indicted is if Trump announces it, or there's some right. sort of public announcement that he's
right.
about to be arraigned. So it's not going to be like there's going to be some sort of alert that's going to go out all across the right. news media and so on. Oh, at this point in time, the indictment is handed down officially right now.
Right.
That won't happen, but it'll be Trump is on his way to New York City to be arraigned in this matter regarding mm-hmm. falsifying
the arraignment
documents
should and, be yeah. public. I mean,
right.
the indictment may not be, but an arraignment, that's public. He's got to be, he's got to have a mugshot. He's got to be fingerprinted. His DNA is going to be
mugshot.
Collected.
That's funny. Because I've been thinking about that too. I said to Mary Trump yesterday, I am absolutely having his mugshot framed and putting that up on my wall. I mean, that's
and
a
I
keepsake.
I have to go with what Mary said. Why would you want to have his face? I mean,
Mary's like, what the fuck,
I can't
Bob?
Wait to never have to think about him again. Like, and,
but
God,
it's his mugshot. I make an exception with Donald Trump mugshots. I mean, that's historic. That is amazing. That will make me laugh and smile every time I see it. It'll be like if I, you know, it doesn't like painted a rainbow on my wall and then the rainbow ends. Instead of a pot of gold, it's Donald Trump's mugshot.
Instead of a pot of gold, it's a pug's asshole.
There you go.
But, you know, I really hope indictments aren't handed down Friday, tomorrow. And I'll tell you why. Because it'll be right before the weekend. And that means yeah. all of the weekend warrior freaks, weirdos, military cosplayers, militia wannabes.
They aren't at work, yeah.
Yeah, they're not at work. So suddenly they're going to show up in New York City, and that could cause trouble. And I'm being 100%
serious.
They're
not at work anyway. Those fuckers can't even get visitation rights for their kids. Like, I mean.
Did you see the lady interviewed down by Von Hilliard the other day in
no.
Florida? Oh, my God. She looked like she was in her 40s, maybe early 50s. Very tan because Florida.
Uh-huh.
And there were
there
were maybe a dozen and a half people down there, possibly.
Yeah.
And so he interviewed her. He said, so are you protesting? She goes, no. We're just supporting. We're not protesting. So that's the talking point that they've been handed from on high.
Yeah.
Is no. This isn't a protest, except that picture that Kimberly just pointed out with Trump and a baseball bat. Basically, with the international sign for no over Alvin Bragg's face, that's a threat. I just alerted the FBI. I said, hi, FBI, you might want to look into this.
Yeah, that's the thing we were talking about at the very top of the show.
Yeah.
Donald Trump just trothed out on his
Truth Central.
On his Truth Central website, a picture of him holding a baseball bat and looking at Alvin Bragg. And then that sort of Ghostbusters circle with the slash through it.
International no sign.
The international no sign over top of Alvin Bragg. And that is, to me, a direct call for violence, in addition to his actual call for violence, which was earlier today on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
Where he trothed out, in addition to a number of other things, in all caps, as though trothing this in all caps. That's okay. I hope there's nothing going on with your cats. I hope everything's okay with the fracas
I had just
in the background.
Left the front door open, and one of them was tangling with a neighbor cat that I've never seen before, but I brought him in. It's so funny when one cat's getting in trouble.
Yeah.
The other two are like these Victorian villagers, like, oh, what on earth is all this commotion?
Oh, that's sibling. That is sibling. That would, like, when one of the three of us would get in trouble, the other two would be perfect.
Yeah.
Well, the neighbor's cat is Stimpy, so it's the neighbor's cat's kind of an idiot. So
it's like when you drive by someone who's got on the side of the road with the blue lights going because they got pulled over. You're like, religiously speed limit, you know, like, we're good kids, you know, going 55, you know.
Right. Well, Trump earlier today
truth central.
I'm not sick of that yet, by the way. He truthed, quote, in all caps, our country is being destroyed as they tell us to be peaceful. I mean, it's not saying, hey, go out there and start cracking skulls. No. But he might as well be saying, go out there and start cracking skulls. Yep. I think he's really especially pissed off that more of his fanboys haven't turned up in Manhattan to surround the courthouse building or to create their person moat, their MAGA moat around Mar-a-Lago, which is one of the ideas that's on the table. Like, they're going to make
parade,
like,
moat parade.
Moat parade. I love that. Yeah, so they want to create a human moat around Mar-a-Lago to block law enforcement from. Yeah,
you can run them over if they're blocking the road. It's law.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that a law in Florida?
In Florida,
yeah. If you're protesting and you're blocking access by vehicles in a road, that person in said car can mow you down legally. Which is a shitty law. I'm not for it at all. But hi, kids.
Yeah.
Perhaps you might get mowed down legally for doing something along these lines by, I don't know, law enforcement.
Right. Oh, here we go. Moat parade. Look at your direction to the moat parade. Gonna get a supper standing out here all day. Trying to get a ticket to the moat parade.
I appreciate
moat parade. Moat parade. Gonna meet a lady at the moat parade. Forgot my shoes at home and now my feet are turning gray. Missing grandma's birthday for the moat parade. The great Nick Lutzko. I love that so much.
It's going to be like a human, like, installation, like a performance art diagram of, like, fat cells in the abdomen. Looking at all those people. They're going to just, like, wall-to-wall overweight senior citizens. Bless their hearts.
Well, I did a video on Monday about the portend of potential violence in New York City, about the fact that, well, you know what? We should never underestimate these people because they've got a history of, just like reality show heels, throwing tantrums and breaking shit as soon as they're told no by grown-ups. As soon as grown-ups say, no, you can't have a second term of your crazy fascist idiocrat president. No, you're not going to get it. And then suddenly they invade Congress.
Right.
Yeah, and then they start breaking shit, right? This is as old as the Republic, right? We've always had to dance around, you know, for the first 85 years of the country, for example, we always had to dance around the Southern conservative interests, where we were framing the Constitution and even authoring the Declaration of Independence with those Southern conservative interests in mind. And when I say Southern conservative interests, I mean people holding other humans as slaves.
Property.
Yeah, as property. And as soon as Lincoln comes along and says, we're not going to do this anymore, or at least that's the message they received, then, of course, they threw a tantrum and stormed off and formed their own little confederacy, which led to 4 years of carnage. And so this is a history that is very well documented. So in addition to Donald Trump threatening violence, not only with this photo that he's tweeted out with him holding a baseball bat, but also this "they tell us to be peaceful" nonsense, Taco Penis said that which is Donald Trump's attorney, Joey Taco Penis.
This sounds like a birth defect that comes from like a hair replacement supplement that's not to be handled by pregnant women or women who may be breastfeeding because your baby may become a fire monster.
Or women who might get pregnant, or anybody for that fucking matter.
Yeah. Well, this is why two of my favorite women on the planet are Stephanie Miller and Kimberly Johnson, because they both individually came up with Taco Penis as the alternative nickname for Joe Taco Pina. And that got me to thinking, though, before we get into his threat of violence, I got to ask both of you. When you hear the name Taco Penis, do you envision a taco shell with a penis in it, or do you envision a misshapen penis that kind of looks like a taco?
Number two.
Do you really? A penis that looks like a taco?
Well, there is a birth defect that is caused if pregnant women come into contact with Propecia called star penis. And I have no idea how that manifests. I just read it in the fine print.
I saw Puppetry of the Penis. Trust me, you can turn them into fucking anything.
Including tacos, apparently.
Oh, hamburgers for sure.
Yeah. I guess like
a handy loofah.
You can fold them lengthwise, but widthwise, I don't know if you can do it that way. I've never tried personally, but you know, I envisioned, by the way, a taco shell with a penis laying in it. I surveyed Kimberly yesterday. Kimberly said, "Oh yes, definitely a taco shell with a penis laying in it. Maybe under some meat and other condiments."
Ew.
Which would be really good. I mean, imagine going to Taco Bell and they hand you a taco and you bite into it and oh shit, there's a penis in this.
Okay, stop.
Okay,
stop
I'll stop now. I'm in one of those moods today.
Oh my retina. Oh my God.
So Taco Penis said that if Trump is indicted, this is an all-out war. They can do what they want, Trump lawyer Joey Taco Penis said of the possible indictment in an interview with former Trump advisor Kimberly Guilfoyle on Monday. At that point, this is an all-out war. He'll be there loud and proud, and there's nobody that's going to make him cower.
Definitely loud, but...
Yeah, obviously, I think he wants to present himself as a defiant victim. So it's possible that he's going to want to be dragged in there with handcuffs on.
I don't think so.
He wants to copy Steve Bannon. Remember his like red face tantrum when they had the handcuffs on him? He's like, and the next day on his podcast, he's like, I've never felt so powerful as when I was handcuffed. And it's just like, dude, you're a fucking liar. You know,
I'm
like,
if I were one of the arresting officers, and by the way, I would like to handcuff him. Frangela will be behind me.
Yeah, just don't put the hand on his head when you load him into
the squad. Oh, no, you have to do that because it'll mess up his fucking hair.
Well, I'd love to see him just bonk his head on the... Oh, there.
Yeah, you
there
bonk his hair and then go, oh, I'm sorry, sir. And then you put your hand on it and you mess it all up so the hairspray and everything gets ruined. And then you see that the thing is just like this mass of bullshit long hair that he just... does
and
this
hand
swirl
is a cuff
to
behind his
yes
back.
Yeah,
where it looks like kind of an upside down jellyfish
yes
on his head. He's wearing an upside down jellyfish as a hat,
a little like Riff Raff.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great comparison. I like that. So you think that he's gonna not want to be dragged in there?
I don't think so. I think that first off, if he does want that, then give him a show, buddy. We're going to fuck your hair up and you can't touch it. I'm serious. You want the show? We will give a show and you will not like what we do to people when we have to handcuff them. Did you ever see Cops? We're going to get you in your fucking underwear with all the poo and the Depends that you wear.
Exactly. Yeah he's going to be like that Bob and David character, Ronnie Dobbs.
Yes.
They're going to catch him like half naked in a bathroom covered in
cocaine
or something.
That's what I want. Like Paul Manafort. Wasn't Paul Manafort like, wasn't the search warrant put on him when he was in his underwear?
Yeah. Remember that scene at the end of Fargo? William H. Macy is finally caught in the hotel and he's trying to crawl out the bathroom window and he's just screaming his bloody head off. That's what I like
to
envision happening. Yeah, I'd love to see that. But here's the thing. Mary Trump said on the show yesterday that Donald Trump is incapable of experiencing fear, the emotion of... No, I think that's the only thing. She said that's the only thing he feels. He can only ever experience fear. He can't fear. He can't experience sadness. That's his... That's the thing, because he's a sociopath. He's incapable of feeling that. He's a narcissist. So consequently... The fear. So it's entirely possible. I mean, I'm just fantasizing here.
I mean, and I think he thinks like a bug or a reptile. It's all just like kill or be killed, eat or be eaten. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's only two feelings. There's gloating and there's primal fear. And you just ricochet back and forth between the two of those.
That's what I've been saying for a long time now, that it's really enjoyable to just see him under all of this legal pressure. And having to cope with it and having to spend money on it. And then the conflicts with his lawyers. And then, like we're going to get into in a few minutes here, the whole situation with Evan Corcoran and the crime fraud exception, where now all of this privileged information is going to get revealed in a court of law, which I love. So, yeah, he is afraid. He's terrified. And that makes me really, really happy. Even if he ends up getting off, I mean, there's always a chance that he could end up not being convicted of any of these crimes. But the experience of it, as far as I'm concerned, will take whatever years he's got left. It's taken some of those years off the table because of the stress.
What I've been saying since he ever won the presidency was that's the worst thing he ever could have done because all of this shit's coming to the surface. Had he never run for the presidency, he would have died a wealthy man.
He would have been playing golf and hanging out and hobnobbing at Mar-a-Lago.
Enjoying his life and still fucking being the criminal that he is, but nobody would have cared.
Because he
became president. You know, he would have still been criming because he's a criminal, but allegedly. So, I mean, he would still be doing what he did prior to becoming president, but because he became president, the scrutiny is put on, as poorly as it was put on, it was still put on him.
Well, meantime, I don't know if you guys know who Pete Santilli is. I always get him confused with that guy from Chicago on CNBC, who's got a similar name, but it's different. I always forget the other guy. But this guy, Pete Santilli, is a far-right radio host. And he's calling for the executions of...
I thought they all died of COVID.
Yeah. God. So this guy, Pete Santilli, called for the execution of Barack Obama and others if Donald Trump is arrested in New York City. So
because it's Barack Obama's fault?
Yes, exactly. He's also calling
for... grand jury indicts?
Yeah, right. He said, get the military, whatever few are left that are going to side with the people, he said. That you military personnel and you people with guns and badges and law enforcement will succumb to the will of the people. And ultimately, we absolutely demand. Well, in that case, I guess we should concede to this.
Now he that he's demanding. Very strongly, just like Putin denied.
And ultimately, we absolutely demand that the criminals in this country, if you want them held accountable, the criminals are Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Susan Rice, he continued. This entire criminal cabal that came about as the result of the murder of John F. Kennedy. All right.
What?
The people that perpetrated the murder of John F. Kennedy rise up to that. So Barack Obama, who was 2 years old when JFK was assassinated, is responsible.
He was very, very adept at shooting at 2 years old.
A precocious child, by all accounts.
He flew all the way from Hawaii on his own, by the way,
to
Texas.
Well, George Soros bought his ticket.
Of course he did, because obviously. And then so he's a very good shot from the grassy knoll.
He was employed at the Texas School Book Depository.
Yep.
And was able to, at 2 years old, order a Mannlicher Carcano rifle.
Yep.
With a faulty scope and all the rest of it.
Yep.
So amazing. All of that. Yeah, he's such a prodigy.
Totally.
It's like he knew exactly what to do, 2 year old Barack Obama.
You know, I would still want that person to be president. If they were capable of carrying out an assassination at 2 years old, imagine what they could do at 48. You know?
Well, Pete Santilli continued by saying, military, join us and put all of them up against a concrete wall and do what we must do to save not just our country, but the entire world. So, yes, I have all the respect. And I love Lawrence O'Donnell. I love his show. I love Charlie Pierce. I love his writing. I love his mind. He's a great friend. I got to disagree with both of them about the potential for violence in the wake of these impending indictments. I think that that is a very real possibility. They're telling us, well, this guy, Ali Alexander, you remember him from January 6th?
Yeah.
He threatened the NYPD the other day. I think this was also on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
He said,
Ali Alexander, who also goes by the name Scammy Davis Jr.
Well, he said, any cop who betrays the people for politicians is a traitor and will be dealt with at a later date accordingly.
All these guys talk like they're characters out of Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This was actually on Twitter. Which means that Ali Alexander was reinstated on Twitter by Elon Musk. So if Ali Alexander perpetrates any violence as a result of a Trump indictment in New York City or any other indictment, you got to make Elon Musk partly responsible for that, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, he continued
rich by people facing justice is not our country's strongest suit.
No. And that's what the Republicans, namely Donald Trump, is taking advantage of. He's exploiting the fact that we're very hesitant to indict and prosecute politicians. They really have to cross
that. People.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's just people in any sort of power position. I mean, I watch it all the time on my Law and Orders because that's where I got my law degree from.
Yeah.
When it's somebody that's super powerful in New York or nationwide, they always go tread lightly. It's like, why? Why the fuck do we have to tread lightly? Just because they have money?
Yeah, right. is a two-tiered, exactly. two-tiered system of justice.
Yeah,
in this
country. When McCarthy and Rand Paul and them talk about two-tiered justice, they're absolutely right, except for when it comes to Donald Trump. Finally, he's getting his fucking comeuppance, that fucking piece of shit motherfucker. I really hope they fuck with his hair.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I feel like Stephen Wright at this point. Remember, he's like, you know, when you lean back in a chair,
yes,
and you start to fall, and then you catch yourself from falling. I yeah. feel like that all
the
time.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite metaphors. I mean, that's what I felt like for 4 years. I think we all felt like that for 4 years under Donald Trump. Like we were just on the verge of some sort of global disaster. Like it was just this disconcerting feeling.
We cartwheeled like a fireball of failure into the biggest global health disaster in human history.
Well, there's that. Yeah, that is true. I was thinking more in terms of nuclear missiles. That's what I was thinking of. Like, is today the day when out of whimsy, he's just going to say, fire them all. And there we go. That's it. And that's what I was really concerned about, which is going to be far more people than what COVID was able to kill. Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. Very distressing. But here's the end of Ali Alexander's tweet, just for good measure here. He said, do not add your name. He's talking to the NYPD. Do not add your name to the fake news who are the enemies of the people. And then he hashtagged NYPD. So these are the threats that we're seeing. Trump himself, on a couple of occasions at least so far now, at least three that I know of, his own lawyer, Joey Tacopinas, Joey the stereotype Tacopinas, is there some sort of Trump rule that all of his lawyers wear pinstripe suits? Is that like a thing? Because they all do. It's like Tom Nichols tweeted the other day. He was like, oh, my God, here's another Trump attorney who looks exactly like a Trump attorney. There's like a costume. There's like a central casting thing. I was saying on Stephanie Miller's show yesterday morning, the only thing they're missing is the pinky rings. That's like the distinguished element. That's the cherry on top of the whole mob cosplay, the mafia cosplay costume.
Oh, the guy that filed in Georgia, I mean, he has the fucking mullet.
Yeah.
And his pinstripes were like, I mean, I don't know if you saw them, but they were like the racing stripes on an Alfa Romeo. I mean, they were just, I mean, it was terrible.
Yep.
He looks like, like, I don't know, just your worst cartoon image of an, like, ambulance chasing, greedy, like, it just...
or like one of those gangsters from the 1930s who would ride on the running boards of the cars and have, like, the Tommy guns and... Hey, you never get me, coppa. You know, one of those
right
guys.
Those guys look
cool, though.
You're going to be swimming with the fishes, see? It's like a, who's that actor?
Edward G. Robinson.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Which my father said all 11 of his children looked like when we were born.
Well, so hence the body image issues. Okay, now everything makes sense.
Well, he also called me chops because I had these thick jowls.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God,
very nice.
Jody. That's horrendous.
They sent me to fat camp when I was 12. What do you expect?
Oh, that's horrible. I'm so sorry.
I have horrible parents. No, I don't. I love my parents.
I have to say, without a doubt, you are the thinnest person I know. And I'm not saying
anything. No, Stephanie's thinner than I am.
I don't know. It's close. It's a close competition.
I just hope you're getting your calcium, young lady.
I take calcium every day. Thank you very much, young man.
Yeah. Oh, okay. By the way, before we wrap up the portion of the show about New York City, you know, our A block, as I've been calling it.
Oh, which has gone on for an hour and a half now.
I know. No shit. Well, the good news is that the Economist YouGov poll shows that 46% of respondents to the survey said that Trump should be indicted for his actions, compared to just 34% who said he shouldn't. The remaining 20% just watching. The other 20% of American voters are like, is there something happening in the news? I don't know.
You can get 18% of Americans in favor of cold sores. You know, I mean, it just there is just a certain, like, it's always going to be like a segment of society that is just completely numbed and out of touch. And
yeah, I know what you mean. Well, the 34% who said he shouldn't be indicted. That's the ceiling for Donald Trump in 2024, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Because right now, he's still leading in the Republican primary polls. Obviously, we're still super early, and the polls are super-duper janky, and so we don't trust them. But at least according to those janky numbers, Trump seems to be in the lead, which is actually why I tweeted that the Republicans are whizzing on the electric fence. Don't whiz on the electric fence. And we come full circle for this first portion of the show. Thank you very much. I'm a pro. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book. That's what we do. We're pros. We never cop out or tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. What do you do now?
What is this? I'm
kind of worried about the club.
Oh, my God.
Nah, don't worry about the club. Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Just cool it. Life is a breeze. And, of course, some breezes, as you know, are 150 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along. That, you know what that is?
Monologue from? No.
Oh my God, this is the greatest monologue in the history of monologues. This is Larry King after 30 consecutive nights of radio, completely like plastered and exhausted from doing. Let's play a little.
Student of print journalism.
By the way, we're late for a break, but who cares? I got to play this Larry King tape because, you know, I'm weird.
And I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? Like, a lot of professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Uh-huh. Is that probably the most important
element? Well, it's way up there.
It's way up there? Anything else? Anything you can do?
Pressure under fire. Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Oh, God, he's so hammered.
I know.
Okay.
Applied himself well. These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, even those of us who have shown an aptitude to fight the good fight and stay the good long battle, even those of us can get tired.
Yeah.
And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights. I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do.
God, he's so
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do. We're pros. We're never rude. We don't
like
cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month, and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses?
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
The club?
Don't worry about the club. Worry about maybe...
Jackie might worry.
No, don't worry.
Just cool it.
Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up the hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along. We're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Washington, Virginia, Washington, D.C. The mutual newsroom will get us up to date on the news headlines, and we'll come back with a little more open phone America. We'll have our salute to my man, Duke Siebert, by taking him to one of
Duke
his favorite places. One of mine,
good
too.
Old Duke.
The town of Cooperstown, New York. This is the Larry King Show in Washington.
And this is your monologue
right
when you
back.
Want to audition for a play. This is what you do when you want to get into drama school.
Because
otherwise, I would say the Dr. Evil thing about his upbringing.
Yeah.
Which I asked Kirk Acevedo to do.
To slide this into an actual like action film. You know, like this character is like lining up to fire a missile and he starts doing this, and the other guy's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, this is Larry King after he was on the air for 30 hours straight. You know, like, oh. Yeah, because it was just, I honestly thought it was something from Repo Man at first.
No, man. I lapse into that. Every time I hear the word professional, I can't help it. I've got to go to that. That's what we do. We're professionals. Look it up in the book. With the exception of a few words and a couple of nuances, I've got that entire thing almost fully memorized.
I almost have Dr. Evil's memorized, so I get it, you know. And I did ask Kirk Acevedo to do the Dr. Evil monologue, and he just laughed at me. He just tweeted at me going, "That's funny, but no."
Kirk's the best. Plays a Vulcan in this season of Star Trek Picard. Love Kirk Acevedo. Yeah, Kirk Acevedo, Kirsten Warren are two of our favorites. Let's see here. What's coming up next? We have to talk about the crime fraud exception and what that means for Donald Trump at this point. Plus, we've got a letter about a funny story about the time change. This is completely weird in reaction to our conversation last week about daylight saving time. Plus, Tucker Carlson is backpedaling like a pussy-ass bitch.
Pussy-ass bitch.
Right. After being caught bad-mouthing Donald Trump, we'll talk about that too and a whole lot more. But first, here's the best way to listen to The Bob Seska Show without all of these commercial interruptions. Just go right now to our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. Scroll down to the link for the ultimate edition of the podcast and sign up for just $15 per month. You go, oh my God, $15 a month. That's a lot. I'm paying for all these streaming services. What am I going to get for this $15, Bob?
Bob.
Well, in exchange for your generous support, we're going to give you a completely commercial-free version of the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday shows. Plus, you're going to get the Shadow Docket Show every Tuesday and Thursday. But wait, there's more dings. You're also going to get the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly included in that level of support, all for just $15 per month. You get everything we have to offer on our Patreon page for this amount, right? Again, that's bobseskashow.com, patreon.com/bobseskashow, either one of those URLs. And we thank you.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska! All time favorites all day long!
I've done to you, that's just a promise to walk out the door. When you abandon all the fools you can use, that's just a
You know who this
guy is. Definitely
is.
Like poolside, like summer California, like to me, summer music.
Yeah, this is the great Seth Adam. Love Seth Adam. He's one of my favorites here on the show. He's a really good guy and an amazing songwriter and musician. Got to watch him build his entire home studio on Instagram. It was amazing. And then he recorded this album, Fits and Starts. It's Fits and Stops and Starts. Yeah, that's the name of the new album. Get it now. We did a whole premiere event for this back in the fall. BobSeska.com/music to submit. Plus, you can go to this episode at BobSeska.com, dated 3/23/23. And click on that link and scroll on down past the blurb, the description, and you'll find all the links for the independent music here featured on the show. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for supporting all of our independent musicians. Okay, so where do we leave off here? Federal appeals court ordered Trump's attorney to testify before the grand jury investigating classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago and turn over documents to federal prosecutors. This is phenomenal news. Jody, this is the crime fraud exception, right? That's what they're invoking here. And the appeals court has upheld it. There was no stay. So everything is moving forward. I imagine Trump is going to appeal to the Supreme Court with this, because this is one of the biggest events in all of the legal pressure that Donald Trump is under, because Donald Trump counts on that attorney-client privilege. Not only does he say shit to his attorneys, I think, that will incriminate him, but he also asked them to lie to the government on his behalf, or he lied to them, and then they in turn lied to the government. This goes back to the Mar-a-Lago quote-unquote raid by the FBI and how we learned.
Which court was it that was like, we need to hear from you by midnight and then we need to hear back from the government by 6 a.m.? Is this this?
That's this, yeah.
That's this court, yeah.
That's exactly this. And so what happened is we found out back in August that I believe Evan Corcoran attested to the fact that there were no more documents. Of course, that was a gigantic lie proved out by the raid that took place at Mar-a-Lago. Oh, yes, there actually are documents. Oh, wait, you guys lied on this document when you said there weren't any more materials in Trump's possession. And that's because...
See, and that's when I would jump.
Yeah.
You know, as an attorney, I'd be like, no, he hung me out to dry. He said there was nothing more. I'm through.
Well, that's exactly what Evan Corcoran's going to do. And he's probably already been doing it for the last whatever it is, at least today. I heard reports that he was in court today. So it was either he was there to defend Donald Trump on a separate matter or he was there to testify himself. One or the other. Those are the two hypotheses surrounding Evan Corcoran's appearance in court today. So we'll see what comes of that soon. I imagine, though, this is going to be, this is like getting that bookkeeper in The Untouchables. This is so dangerous for Donald Trump because what it's doing is it's pulling back the curtain once again on what he says privately, which he thinks is privileged, even though it's not privileged.
Well, it's a crime, so you're not allowed to invoke privilege on fraud and crimes.
Right, right. So last week, prosecutors in Jack Smith's case presented sufficient evidence that Trump intentionally concealed the existence of additional classified documents from his attorney, Evan Corcoran. U.S. Judge Beryl Howell wrote that prosecutors had made a prima facie showing that Trump had committed criminal violations. Trump appealed Howell's ruling, but a three-judge appeals court panel denied the request to halt the order. Corcoran is scheduled to testify on Friday. So when this appeals court looked at the evidence, they were like within, like, I imagine seconds going, well, okay, well, this is, I mean, they've got him. They've got, Evan Corcoran's exactly right.
We've
here.
Got Jack's him. The, we've got him.
We've got him. We've got him.
Yes, the John Oliver thing. Yeah, I mean, we are back at that again, aren't we? So thank you for bursting my balloon, Jody Hamilton.
Sorry.
Yeah, I am like, I mean, oh God, I'm so overstimulated and just kind of like done at this point. I just, my you know, my husband's birthday was yesterday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Ben.
Happy
so
birthday,
sweet.
Ben. Yes.
And I surprised him because my dad and stepmom, who he adores, were in town and he didn't know it. So I just told them guests were going to start showing up at 7:30. And so, like, they, you know, knocked on the door and he opened it. And my dad's like, I heard there was a birthday party. And aww. Ben's like, ah!
Oh, that's, you know, awesome. Yeah.
They, like, we had MSNBC on with it on mute while we were like ordering dinner and stuff. And my,
as we all do.
And my, but my stepmom was just like, God, she has, like, I have not thought about Donald Trump this much. I mean, she's like, I don't watch cable news. Like, I listen to NPR and stuff. But, like, she's like, they're just saying his name over and over and over and over and filling the air with him again and again. She's like, it's just like they're feeding into exactly what he wants, you know, by constantly talking about him. And I'm like, I'm so tired of talking about him.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, and I understand that. I absolutely do. And I sympathize with it. But the problem is, it's unavoidable. That's the conundrum with Donald Trump. In order to hold him accountable, we have to pay attention to him. And it's one of those things that we just have to suck it up and do what we got to do. Because ignoring him isn't even a possibility, as far as I'm concerned. We ignore him, he actually gathers strength. We give him attention.
I wonder. Yeah. I wonder because, I mean, attention is everything.
Yeah, but does he really care about liberal attention? Does he really give a shit whether or not people are talking about him on the liberal side of things?
No, I think he's one of those all press is like he wants everyone talking about him.
Yeah, but when they do ignore him when he's doing a stupid rally or whatever, and even Fox News doesn't tune in, that pisses him off. But by the same token, those are his people that aren't tuning in. If we talk about him, he ain't tuning in. We're not his people. He doesn't give – yes, every good press – bad press is always good press according to anybody that's stupid. But we cannot ignore him on this side. I like when they ignore him at Fox and Newsmax and other places.
Yes.
That hits him hard.
That's good. I always go back to the comparison of sort of flipping the script. If the Republicans – stopped paying attention to Joe Biden, would that be good news or bad news for the Democrats?
Probably.
And I think that would be overwhelmingly good news. You know what I mean? That
would be great.
Yeah, that would be that would allow us to operate and do what we need to do, pass the legislation that we need to pass by and large, and it would just free up the entire discourse surrounding Joe Biden. If we no longer had to triage every stupid fucking thing they say at Fox News Channel about Joe Biden or on Breitbart or whatever, these various podcasts and so on. Likewise, no one knew who Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles were, these podcasters from the Daily Wire.
Right.
And they were spreading all kinds of awfulness for an entire year before we were like, oh, holy shit, maybe we should start looking at these guys because what they're doing is they're now instigating all of these bans on gender-affirming care. But now it's too late. They've already done it when we weren't paying attention to them.
Exactly.
So now we're paying attention to them, and maybe that helps them a little bit in their ratings. But I think the debunking of them and the counterattack and the calling attention to that kind of fuckery is more important than whatever additional visibility they'll get, whatever additional engagement and reach they get on social media and so on. So I think this is a mandatory thing we got to do. And again, it would be, I think, suicide to just say, okay, we're just going to tune out Donald Trump and not pay attention to what he has to say. That would just allow him to run with impunity without any fact checking, without any pushback. And that would be bad. And I understand that he loves this. He loves the attention. And he absolutely, as you said, David, he's absolutely into the all press is good press idea. If it was some low-level person who wasn't famous, okay, I get it. But Donald Trump's already famous, as John Oliver once said about Tucker Carlson.
You know, if I could design his, like, circle of hell, it would be that just, like, nobody cares.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Standing there.
Oh, we're all with you, honey.
Dirty diaper standing on the you know, corner in Times Square yelling his head off about whatever, and everyone's just walking by.
Yeah, and by the way, I just mentioned Tucker Carlson. We got to talk about this appearance that Tucker made on Bo Snerdly's podcast.
Okay, wait. What is this person's name?
His name is
Snerdly.
Yeah, Bo Snerdly. Those of you who were unfortunate enough to have listened to the Rush Limbaugh program at one point or another will know that his producer for many, many years was this guy, Bo Snerdly.
Oh my God, it's like Snidely Whiplash. What the fuck is that name?
It's a funny name, and Limbaugh would always call him Snerdly. Do you think that the feminazis are coming after me, or...
How are you making me hear the fat rolls on his neck? That was so uncanny.
You know what? I haven't done that voice in so many years.
It started to add a little Alex Jones, and then it found itself, and it was glorious. It caught the wind and sailed.
He would just do these things where it was like he was trying to pass a fart or something, just like, oh, listen, Snerdly. And he used to always, and by the way, I picked up this affectation myself where I kind of bounce my hands on the table in front of me. That's a Rush Limbaugh thing, sadly. But yeah, it always sounded like he had gas or something like this. Oh, Snerdly.
So I always that he has that big ass electro voice, gold plated mic in front of him, and those mics, I don't like them. They make you sound like boiled ass. Like it gives you that completely like all mid and low like AM radio, like just. I don't know. Just the whole fact that he's got one of those shitty mics and it's gold plated. I was just I'm a Sennheiser man. If I'm going to use a condenser, I'm actually getting a little in the weeds, aren't I?
No, that's fine. I understand exactly what you're talking about. If you're going to go for something expensive, go for a Sennheiser. A Neumann, I mean, I think that's what he was using was a Neumann. Which
Neumann,
is a
no, he's, he was. I think it was an Electro Voice RE.
No, it's an EV. I looked it up really because was? I was like, oh, yeah. We had one of those at our radio station, and I tried to, and it was god awful. I was like, I fucking sound like Rush Limbaugh. It gives you that, like,
well,
like, totally then, like AM radio, no dynamics, boiled, compressed, flattened sound.
Well, that explains the reason why I sound like Rush Limbaugh when I do that impression, because that's the exact microphone I'm using. Except mine is
you
black.
You don't have a gold one, do you?
No, well, it's black. Better. It's the special edition black Electro Voice RE20. That's the microphone I use. It's like the standard for broadcasting. I've used these in broadcast radio. A lot of people have. In fact, I just bought this a couple of years ago, so I haven't always used it, but I have one now. So I can go, no. Greetings, you pathetic underlings. I am your leader, your messiah, talent on loan from God, Rush Limbaugh. Okay, so how do we get off on this? Bo Snerdly.
I don't know.
Tucker Carlson on Bo Snerdly's show. And yeah, went full like pussy ass bitch, just backpedaling because we know that Tucker Carlson was saying I hate this man. He's talking about Donald Trump in
the passion.
Dominion lawsuit. Talking about I hate Donald Trump passionately. He said something.
We
about,
won't have to talk about him in the primetime block at all.
Right, but then Snerdly asked him, "Hey Tucker, listen." I've had a number of people saying they read all these things in the paper. You hate Trump, blah, blah, blah. But this is it. Does Tucker like Trump's policies, any policies of his? What's the deal with you and Donald Trump? Now, see, everyone was telling me that this is never get this Dominion lawsuit. The filings, the text messages are never going to make it into the Red Hat entertainment bubble. And here we are, Bo Snerdly talking about it with Tucker Carlson himself. So Tucker Carlson has to say,
they probably set this up ahead of time so Tucker could trot this piss poor tail tucking excuse of an answer that I'm sure I'm about to hear.
I mean, yes, you're about to hear Tucker Carlson's answer. So let's get some appropriate sad music here, some backpedaling music. Oh, let's see. I spent 4 years defending his policies, and I'm going to defend them again tonight. And actually, I'm pretty straightforward. I love Trump, like, as a person. I think Trump is funny and insightful, and I said this to Trump when he called me, you know, all wounded about those texts. So Trump knows, and Trump, this is news. Tucker's breaking news here.
He sounds like a battered wife in the therapy session.
Yes.
Like after, like, you know, sitting there with a, you know, arm and plaster up to the shoulder, you know.
Yeah. Like,
my mind has changed. I love him. I love everything about him. He's the best husband I've ever had, you know. And yeah, it's just like, oh, okay.
I think Trump is funny and insightful. And I said this to Trump when he called me, you know, all wounded about those texts. That was a moment in time where I was absolutely infuriated. I guess when he was saying those things in text messages. I think this is in the text. All those were all grabbed completely illegitimately, in my opinion, in this court case. Which is, I guess I'm not allowed to talk about, but I'm enraged that my private texts were pulled. Yes, because you were called out for being a gigantic hypocrite and liar. But those particular texts were pulled at exactly at the moment where I was texting with one of my producers because some idiot on the Trump campaign had sent us the name of these dead voters who had voted, and we went and I repeated them on air, and it turns out some of them were alive. Whoops.
I don't understand what he just said. I know the words individually. But that just, he's usually better at this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Dog food for my ears.
Well, that's,
yeah, it was like, it's not like Condoleezza Rice, who was amazing at non-answer answers that sounded like she was smart. Tucker's usually better at this.
He's more fluent at lying than he is at telling the truth.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yes. Well, in this case, he was saying that they sent him someone at the Trump campaign, and this might also be news, that someone at the Trump campaign sent him the name of dead voters, and it turned out they weren't dead. They were alive. Right. And you know what Snerdly's response was to that? Oh.
Of course.
So I felt humiliated, Carlson said. Yeah, like what? And I thought then, I think now that the election was not on the level and it was not a free and fair election, I thought that then, I think it now.
And lick it off the floor, Carlson. Just like lick his shit off the floor.
Yeah.
You fucking piece of shit. Like, you know, someone on his staff like printed that out, highlighted it, and sent it straight to Mar-a-Lago.
And so he continues to perpetrate the conspiracy theory. He said, and so I wanted, you know, evidence. I mean, there's no way the guy got 81. He got more votes than Barack Obama. Really? Whatever you think of Obama, I never liked Obama, but he's a really talented, very talented politician. And Joe Biden is senile and hid in his basement. Tell me how he got 81 million votes.
I know how.
I do too.
Your boss, Tucker, the real one, the one whose taint you just slavishly licked. People hate him so much that they came out in record numbers, the highest number of voters recorded in American history, to make sure that he did not get back in the Oval Office.
Oh, God. See, this is what I predicted, that Tucker Carlson, when he responded, was going to be like, oh, I was just angry. We've all said things in the peak of rage. You know, we've all said things that we regret when we're pissed off. Who hasn't said something that they regret when they're in an argument with someone? So that's what I did. I love Donald Trump. I love him, love him, love him.
I love him a lot. He wants to date him and marry him.
Okay. Well, are we still doing the show? I think we're still doing the show.
I think we are. I don't know.
It's one of those weird Thursdays, and I love them so much. So
it's not my fault.
Yeah. All right. One last short.
Yeah, we got to take a break because I have locked myself in here without a bottle opener and a Mexican Coke that was ice cold at the start of the show.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here staring at it going, oh, God, I'm so thirsty. I can't open you.
Okay. Short break. Back with more show right after these words.
Bob Seska plays more music.
I love this song. This is the great Carol Pacey and the Honey Shakers. If romance is dead, I want to be dead too. Uplifting, isn't it? It's so good, though. So good.
That sounds like an Astral Summer title, seriously. Yeah.
Carol Pacey and the Honey Shakers. Love it. Link in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. To download now. Make sure to buy all the music and support all of the indie bands here on the show. By the way, speaking of indie music, holy shit, the great King Cyborg and Vixen Noir have collaborated on a new song. Ooh, and I can't wait to premiere it. I think it's coming in April. I was just alerted by Vixen Noir the other day, and so I'm so psyched to play this. It's like a super group is what they formed here. It's amazing. All right, and by the way, in case I didn't mention, I think I mentioned it earlier, Mary Trump was on the show yesterday. You have to listen to my interview, my talk with Mary Trump. Covered a lot of ground as far as Donald Trump goes. And then at the end of the show,
also about her family, I feel like she got very like emotionally vulnerable and honest. It was a really good interview.
Yeah. Well, thanks partly to our Patreon subscribers. We got some great questions for Mary Trump. We're doing that now when we have a guest, and it's a guest that you may know ahead of time. Then we're going to open up the floor to our Patreon subscribers from the $1 level on up to the $15 level. And you can ask your questions for our guests, and we may get to some of them. We haven't been able to get to all of them, and I apologize for that, but we're going to get to as many as we possibly can. Allison Gill will be joining us next week, so I'll make sure to post a thing on Patreon for questions for Allison for next Wednesday. That'll happen like Tuesday probably too late in the day on Tuesday next week. But anyway, so that's what we were doing. And the last question was about Mary Trump's favorite episode of Star Trek. And so we got talking about Star Trek and Star Trek Picard and all these things. And it turns out at the end of
the news, folks.
Nerds!
this is big, and we're still working on some of the details, so watch this space. But it looks like Mary Trump and I are going to collaborate on a Star Trek politics podcast. Yay! I'm talking about a podcast series. Yeah, it's going to be an entire series where we take like an episode of Star Trek, one of the many shows, like either DS9 or Next Generation or the original series or Picard or Strange New
Worlds. I can
do
original series guest with you if you would like.
Yeah,
you guys
are
going to end up writing a screenplay. Like all the people who work on this are going to like start listening to your podcast and they're going to be like, here's $500 billion. Why don't you make us a film, you know? And me and Jody are going to be, like, panhandling. Like,
as I do always.
Yeah.
All I want is to be a Klingon extra in the background of some scene of something. I don't care what it is. But
it's a lot of makeup, Bob.
I'll put on the makeup. I'll overcome my claustrophobia and do it.
You'll have to.
Yeah.
You're the right height.
I would love to be. I've wanted to be, God, since I was watching Next Generation when its initial run, I've wanted to be a Klingon in an episode of Star Trek. Just a background. I'm not an actor, so I'm not gonna do any sort of speak. I just want to be a guy in the distant background somewhere. And if Jonathan Frakes is directing an episode, he goes, "Get that tall Klingon out of the shot."
Here it is.
Like that guy.
Bob, you're not an actor. You just play one on TV.
That's right. Thank you. Okay, so...
Like a Zen riddle. I just got a little overwhelmed. Wait.
That's an old joke, man, because people would be like, I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. So right. I would be like, I'm not an actor. I just play one on TV.
Hey, you want to read a letter from a listener? Let's read a letter from a listener. Here we go.
Into the mailbag.
We get your letters every day.
They're more like emails.
Mailman.
All right, so here we go. This letter comes to us from Andy Solario. He writes, I heard your conversation with Jody and David yesterday, and I had to tell you my experience. I live in Chicago on Central Standard Time. We spring forward and fall back for DST. My sister has a house in Western Michigan where they're on Eastern Standard Time. Right. Usually when we go there, we just leave our clocks on Chicago time to make it less confusing. However... Certain spots in her house are on Eastern Standard Time, while others are Central Standard Time, which means if you don't set your phone to not switch time zones, your clock on your phone will change as you move through the house. It's ridiculous. I thought that was hilarious.
That's bizarre.
Oh, no, North Dakota has that, too. Half of the state is on one time zone. The other half is on another.
Can you imagine, though, having a house where one part of it is in one
time zone? I love it. I would just totally build a house there. It would be me. I'd be like, yep, this side of the room is Eastern. This side of the room is Central. Go.
I live in a timeless zone.
Fuck
me up.
It's back to the future, baby. When you go from this side of the house to that side of the house, you're in the future.
Your address is like 2 million Singularity Avenue.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. Oh, my God. It's like the day after tomorrow in Los Angeles, isn't it? There was a tornado that touched down in L.A.
You know why I know? Because a friend of mine from New York texted me, goes, there are tornadoes. I'm like, okay.
Okay, so that
I have
actually,
to get down? I mean.
I forget like just how vast Los Angeles is because it's not a vertical city.
No.
It's completely like a spreading like metastasis kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a big, we're sprawled. I mean, basically, there's downtown Los Angeles that has become gentrified, by the way.
Except for
there's a whole part of downtown LA that's awful with the homeless situation or the unhoused folks that we're trying to figure it out. Karen Bass has a lot of work to do. But other than that, I mean, we're basically, it's a giant suburb is LA.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And so.
I had it described to me as a series of interlocking villages.
That's a good idea because I live in a village. So there you go. But it's basically when my friend texted me from New York, tornadoes, I'm like, not right now. The sun just came out.
Yes. The tornadoes are so minor that you had to be alerted by your friend in New York.
In New York, going, tornado tornadoes? I'm like, I don't know.
She's perhaps. Like, oh, there are tornadoes, and then suddenly, whoosh.
And then all of a sudden, I'm Dorothy, and I'm I'm not in Kansas anymore.
N-E-M.
But the thing is it's... We are overdue for a giant earthquake, so that's coming. 94 was our last earthquake. We're almost 30 years out, which is rare. We're usually 20 to 25 years out from a big one. So the next big one that we're going to have in the next year, year and a half, is what I'm guessing.
You know,
is going to be ginormous.
You know, you and Mary Trump, Bob, were talking about like what's going on with the inner circle of Trump people that they know they're all expendable. They know that the first time they're inconvenient, they will get thrown under the bus.
Yeah. I know.
They know, like, why do they keep doing it? And she likened it to smoking cigarettes. I remember I've talked about racism before being like doing crystal meth, like that you know it's bad, but it gives you a little bump. Like, like it makes them feel, it gets them that little endorphin, whatever they want.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, but like,
well, did we talk about?
I feel that way about living in California because if it's not the firenados, it's the mudslides.
Yeah,
or
you're
the
right.
Earthquakes or the. I mean, it's just like. I mean, I love my friends and family who live in California, but I'm like, you know, it's coming, and it's gonna be bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, but okay. So the difference between so I lived in Hawaii as Bob did.
Hawaii,
and you get earthquakes. And hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Yeah, that's true.
On the Big Island, literally, when I lived on the Big Island, Kilauea was like, she was erupting again. And every now and then, like, one side of the house that we lived in would have an earthquake and the other side wouldn't feel it. It's like, did you feel it? No.
It's like that person with the two different time zones in their
exactly.
house.
Exactly. Yeah, like, did you feel that? No, I didn't feel it. Well, she's, you know, erupting, so it's going to happen. But hurricanes are kind of normal in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Earthquakes are haphazardy, but like in California, we don't get tornadoes every season. We this year we've gotten.
You don't have seasons.
That's we don't.
It's always a fucking beautiful day in California until the day that kills you.
Yeah.
Well, and then I mean, seriously, when I first moved into my house, it was October of '93, so I've been here almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. January, the day before my birthday in '94. Was the Northridge earthquake.
Northridge,
yeah.
Oh, man.
And so we had very little furniture in the house, and it was the first time, because I had kept my bedroom free from dogs, so I hadn't slept with them for days. My boyfriend at the time was sick, so we slept in what is now our bar, what used to be our den. So we just had a futon in there. And so got the two dogs. I got the boyfriend, who's got 101 temperature, la, 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 la. 4 o'clock in the morning, there's an Etch-a-Sketch that is the planet being erased.
Because oh,
that's what it was. That's what it felt like. Like an Etch-a-Sketch erasing something. You children out there, go get one. Anyway, so my other roommate, Tommy, she was living in what is now our office. And my other roommate, Andy, was living in what is our pool house. And neither one of them, nor my boyfriend, had ever been in an earthquake. So I wake up halfway through it because it's an earthquake. What the fuck? What the fuck do I care, right?
Yeah.
So I'm... It was a 37-second earthquake, which is a long time. So I slept through half of it. I wake up going, where the fuck are the dogs? Because that's my concern.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Paul goes, I have Shadow. I don't know where Tucker went. I'm like, okay.
Wait, you had a dog named Shadow? So did I. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a little – she was named before I met her at the pound. And she was a little terrier mutt. And then Tucker was a American Eskimo purebred. And he was adorable. Anyway, so we can't find Tucker. And then Tommy, she gets up and she's walking around with the lit candle. I said, blow that out. We don't know if there's a gas leak. She goes, the Jolly Green Giant just hit the side of the house. Because it's 4:30 in the morning. Everybody's asleep. And then Andy took the entire earthquake to just get to the back door. He was white as a ghost.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck was that? I said, honey, you're from Denver. It's called an earthquake. Come inside. And so I'm looking around for our poor dog who is... You know, luckily the fences didn't fall down in my, because I literally just moved in. So I'm like, fuck. He was hiding next to the house, soaking wet because our pool hit the side of the house. So he was soaking wet from his shoulders down.
Oh,
poor baby. You know, beautiful long white fur. And he's like, I look better with a blowout. so I bring him in the house. So the dogs are freaked out. We have no power. So I got the garage door open, put them in my Jeep because they liked being in the car. So I'm like, we're just going to pull the Jeep out and we can leave at any time. And then next thing I know, 50 people show up at my house that are friends of mine. A friend of mine's apartment just disappeared, so they moved in for weeks. Mm. And then my friend down the street, he and his girlfriend came over. The neighbors next door had their RV going and, you know, cooking. It was like, everybody okay? We all just checked on each other. And literally it was like, my friend Tommy went to sleep, and so did Andy. They're both from Denver. And they still to this day don't have a memory of that night.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah.
They're shocked. They're in shock.
Exactly.
Complete and utter shock. And Tommy doesn't remember almost 24 hours later because we went to see some friends and a next door neighbor of a friend of ours that our dog was there alone. And so we left a note saying, hey, if you're not, we're going to take your dog and take care of it because if you've left town. And Tommy, she still doesn't remember that. Mm. It was a very interesting time. In fact, my birthday was the next day and there was lockdown.
Oh, fun.
And so
no cake for you.
Yeah. No. And power came back on and we had antenna on our, we still do had an analog antenna on the top of the house. So we actually, once the power came back, we had television. Cable was gone, but I had an antenna so we could watch TV.
Oh, good. Good for you.
And I was able to take a shower and I get out of the shower and then there's like 50 people at my house on the 18th wishing me a happy birthday as a surprise party that my boyfriend, cool. You know, figured out how to do.
Just to run around the neighborhood the entire day.
Well, he was just calling everybody going, hey, you know, we're not doing it at FM station in the Valley. We're going to do it because that's where he worked. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it here at the house. So just come over. She's in the shower. Come over now. You know, it was like a whole, like, I get out of the shower, dry my hair, and there's 50 people in my house, which is very sweet of him to do. But, I mean, seriously, earthquakes don't bother me.
Put on makeup and,
Yeah.
Not when you're fresh out of the shower. That's a
terrible time. No, I was fine with it. All these people knew me. No, it was really, I mean, that earthquake was a hell of an earthquake.
Real quick, before we wrap up the show here, there's an additional wrinkle in this Trump tweet with the baseball bat that we started talking about at the top of the show.
Okay. Is it fake?
No, there's one that George Conway has tweeted out here that doesn't have the circle with the slash through it. Doesn't have the universal symbol for no in it. So that may have been added, but still, it's actually kind of worse. Where it's got now Donald Trump, I mean, unobstructed, Donald Trump with a baseball bat looking like he wants to hit Alvin Bragg with it.
Oh, I see it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there, I guess someone else, maybe a liberal or someone like that, added that to say, oh, I'm opposed to this or whatever. And so that's how that came about. But the actual troth is different. What were you gonna say, David?
I'm just so tired of the noise.
Yeah.
This is like a fucking hateful, nasty, bitchy, cruel noise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a curse. We've been cursed with this guy, and the curse comes in the form of propaganda. The curse comes in the form of disinformation. The curse comes in the form of just having to observe a bully with this much power. A bully who is so entitled because of his status and his whatever remains of his wealth gets all kinds of special treatment. I'm going to do a video about that because one of the things that's been driving me nuts is this counterpoint from all the red hats, all the Trump supporters, all the Trump fanboys. If they can do this to Trump, imagine what they can do to you.
And they can do this to anybody. I'm like, I haven't committed any crimes.
Yeah.
I'm
not super worried about
this. Well, and also Donald Trump is not being treated poorly. Donald Trump is getting all the latitude in the world. It has been, 6 years almost since he signed that check to Stormy Daniels in the Oval Office?
Yep.
It was 2017 when he signed that check. And it's now 2023. And it's taken this long. It hasn't even happened yet. He hasn't even been arraigned yet. He hasn't been arrested or indicted. And so that's a big, wide latitude. How long did it take Derek Chauvin to be a judge, jury, and executioner with George Floyd? 9 minutes.
Exactly.
6 years for Donald Trump. 9 minutes for George Floyd, and George Floyd is dead. Donald Trump will get a slap on the wrist with this. Probably not do prison time.
It could be a felony. There's still a possibility of election fraud, which is funny with Comer going, that's federal. No, yeah, New York State has its own election laws, motherfucker.
Well, I'm thinking in comparison to getting choked out in the street.
Well, yes, that would be
anything that happens to Donald Trump in comparison to what's happening to black men in the street.
Are we talking about Donald Trump getting choked out on the street, I glazed over for a second.
No, I'm sorry, David. We weren't talking about that.
No, we don't want to end violence on anybody. Violence bad on anybody, including Donald. It's bad, except for messing up his hair when you put him in the goddamn car.
No hand on the head, please.
Do it. Fuck his hair up.
He was saying it. You put the hand in the head. Don't take the hand away. Don't be too nice, he said. Awful humor, dude. All right, show continues on the Shadow Dog at patreon.com/BobSuskaShow. We're going over there now. Join us. Come on, here we go. Bye-bye.
Bye.